Today, we're thinking about why Jesus had to die. I think a much simpler question might be, why did Jesus live? Well, he lived so that human beings could come into a relationship with God. Ever since human beings first rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, God wanted to restore that relationship. He raised up people over the centuries who came to tell people that they needed to turn from their wicked ways and turn back to God. Time and time again, they either ignored the prophets or they had a relationship with God, but then soon fell back into their old ways. And so God wanted to end that cycle and to come to earth himself. The Word, that's Jesus, we read in the Bible, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus lived. But why did Jesus have to die? Wouldn't a powerful preaching and healing ministry have been enough? Well, no. And at the heart of why it wasn't enough lies in the very nature of God himself. As you probably know, my job in the diocese is as director of vocations and ordinands. Posh title, eh? It just means that I spend a lot of time helping people to discover God's plan and his purpose for them, their vocation. And when I meet new candidates, we chat for a while and I usually pose them a question. I say, would you end this sentence for me? And I begin, God is. And then ask them to end the phrase. How would you end it? Well, why don't you pause the video for just a second and have a think? God is. And if there's someone else with you in the room, why don't you swap answers? So let's pause and let's think. I'll be back. I wonder how you did. Well, the answer most people give me is God is love. Very biblical. Other people might say things like, God is everlasting, or God is powerful. But the thing I rarely hear is God is holy. But that's the very key to why Jesus came to die. God is holy, but we human beings are not. In fact, we're anything but. We are flawed. We are sinful. That's not a very popular phrase these days, is it? Sinful, but it's true nonetheless. And the thing is that holiness and sinfulness simply do not mix. They cannot occupy the same space as one another. I wonder if you know the Old Testament story of Moses asking to see God face to face. You can find it in Exodus chapter 33. Moses says to God, I want to see your glory. In other words, I want to know you fully. I want to be in communion with you. But God knows that that's simply not possible. So he hides Moses in the cleft of a rock as he passes by. The only thing that Moses is allowed to see is God's back. If you like, a shadow of who God is. It's a powerful image. Holiness and sinfulness cannot occupy the same space. Now, the people of God wanted to remedy that situation. They wanted an end to the grip that sin had on their lives. They wanted to live in harmony with God and with each other. Once a year, they held a special festival. Jews today call that festival Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And it is, to this day, their most important festival. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter 16. What happened was that as a symbolic removal of people's sins, the high priest would take two goats. One of the goats would be sacrificed in the temple and its blood taken into the Holy of Holies. And then the high priest would lay his hands upon the second goat, confessing the sins and the rebellion and the wickedness of all the Israelites. In a sense, that goat took on the sin of Israel, and it was sent out into the wilderness to die. And then the sins were forgiven for another year. That second animal was called a scapegoat. You know that word. We use it today. It means taking the blame for others. The scapegoat. I wonder if you're making any connections with the two readings that we heard earlier. You see, these sort of sacrifices, these days of atonement, went on for generation upon generation. But nothing changed. And a permanent solution was needed to the problem of sin. A mighty, powerful scapegoat was needed to put an end to the grip of sin forever. A once and for all day of atonement was needed, and God himself had a plan. We call that once and for all day of atonement Good Friday. Let me remind you of some of the words from our readings. Caiaphas, who was high priest, spoke up. He said, "You do not realise that it is better that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was both high priest, he was also the scapegoat. He took upon himself the sin and the blame of others. I once saw it really helpfully portrayed like this. Imagine that my hand here represents human beings. There's nothing between ourselves and God. That was what it was like in the Garden of Eden at the beginning. But let this book represent all the sins, all the faults, all the selfishness of the world. Suddenly, there's a barrier between us and God. And days of atonement just don't do it. And yet here is Jesus. Jesus was sinless. And Jesus took upon himself all of the sins of the world. And as Jesus hung on the cross, being the scapegoat, having the sins of the world upon him, he felt abandoned and cut off from God, because holiness and sinfulness do not mix. And in his agony, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But the result of Jesus hanging on the cross and having our sins means that you and I are able to have communion with God, to know him fully, to converse with him forever.